KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a great divide in our nation. There's a divide between political parties, with the chasm getting both deeper and wider. There's a divide in our culture today between that is, you know, which is morally acceptable and that which is indecent. There's a divide in patriotism. Should one stand and respect the flag and those who fought for the freedom it represents, or is one to take a knee? There's a divide between the response to the coronavirus. Should we shut down society or let things work out? There's also a divide as it relates to skin color. How do we respond to one another? What about this divide between those who say Black Lives Matter and those who say all lives matter? How does a Christian respond in times like these? Joining us today, we welcome to our studio Pastor Curtis McMiller. He is pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was ordained to the ministry in 1997, started Heritage Baptist in 2001. He's passionately involved in soul winning and calls up the body of Christ today to be the church. In addition to serving the Lord, he also served his country, having served honorably in the United States Navy. Pastor, thank you for being with us, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and looking forward to our discussion today.
Well, indeed, there is a lot of discussion taking place across the nation, and a lot of this was precipitated, though it's been lurking for some time, the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. It was a very tragic death that took place. And all kinds of responses have been invoked since then. Some have called that which started out as peaceful has turned into a very aggressive Black Lives Matter response to it. You're a black pastor that ministers to the black and white in your congregation. And just asking if you could kind of pull things together for us. How should we have clear biblical thinking about this great divide? You recognize we're at a divide in this nation.
Well, yes, I noticed, obviously, that there is something afloat in our nation today. And obviously, as we think in terms of what the Bible has to say about these issues, we want to make sure that we look at it from a biblical perspective. And while it is true that the tragedy that took place involving George Floyd is really, it's somewhat of a black eye on our nation. I just believe that we have to get back to what should have been done prior to something like this happening. And I believe that all of the answers are located in God's Word.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at some of those. But yes, as I mentioned in the introduction of this program, there's also this growing political divide that's taking place. I'm going to play two brief audio clips. The first one is Joe Biden, former vice president, saying that President Donald Trump is the country's first racist president. This was at a virtual town hall organized by the Service Employees International Union. The second clip is President Donald Trump. He was who responded to this briefly when asked about the Biden quote. But let's hear both of these. This was from last Wednesday. First of all, former Vice President Joe Biden.
No sitting president has ever done this. Never, never, never. No Republican president has done this. No Democratic president. We've had racists, and they've existed. They've tried to get elected president. He's the first one that has.
I've done more for black Americans than anybody, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. Nobody has even been close. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, so those are two brief statements, sir, Pastor, and hence the flames are being fanned in this regard. Your response?
Well, first and foremost, as Mr. Biden made those claims, he indicated, or he assumed that President Trump is our first racist president. Well, as we look at some of the accomplishments under our current president, President Trump, he's done so much for the black community than his predecessor has. In fact, one of the key points involving our president is this prison reform that he's actually put in place, and how that's been such a great treasure for the black community. Also, we can talk about how he's the one president has given so much to various black colleges, more than his predecessor. And as just as we think in terms of the slanderous comment that was made by Mr. Biden, I don't see our president as being racist. I see him as being concerned about the black community, and so much that he's been able to do more than his predecessor. And we all know his predecessor was Barack Obama, concerning the black community, the black culture. And so as Mr. Biden makes that claim, you know, it seems to me like he's invoking racism by utilizing that terminology just to kind of stoke the fires of division in our country.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be in a short time letting you share your heart on solutions to all of this, but there are different solutions people are coming up in our world today. Last week, after one of our crosstalk programs, we had received a written response from somebody in the state of Michigan, and on a topic we were dealing with, and here's what he said, and I'd like you to respond to it. The statement said this: America needs to apologize to African Americans and its massacre in African American communities. No progress has been made. Pastor, do you believe such an apology is to be given, and if so, by who and to whom?
Well, as we think concerning the black culture, I just believe the problem lies at the heart of the family. It starts in the family. And because our families have been so divided and so separated from each other, you know, the young people, as they grow up, they don't have any proper role models. Mom is not at home. Dad is not at home. And as we think about an apology involving what's happened in the black culture, again, it has to be placed at the feet of the family, at the structure of the home. And I don't believe that as a nation, you know, we live in a society where we have opportunity left and right. I just in my lifetime, I've been put in positions where if I wanted to accomplish something, I had to work for it. I had to put forth extra effort. I had to go the extra mile. And as a result of that, I've been very, very successful. So it's obviously I am a black man. And so when I hear individuals saying that America needs to apologize for the culture, I don't put the blame on America. I put the blame in the family, in the black family as a whole. There was a time when in the black cultures, moms, dads, again, were at home. There was a nucleus of people there. But now we've allowed various things that divide the family, and we see the fruit of that in our generation.
Okay, so we have another solution that's coming forth from some, and the chorus is getting louder and louder for this, indicating that reparations will be the solution to all of this. Is that a viable solution?
Well, you know, no. That, you know, to say that reparations is the solution, I guess the question to follow up behind that particular response is, how much is enough? You know, I look at it from a biblical viewpoint, and the Bible makes it plain that the children should not be held responsible for the sins of the fathers. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 18, verse 20, says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father." That comment there, that description of a father, it doesn't say that it doesn't matter what color they are, whether they're black, white, red, green, orange, or brown. It says, "Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the sons. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." What took place leading up to today, as we speak in terms of slavery and all of those things, all of that was in the past. This generation is not liable to repay anyone, held responsible to repay anyone for any past transgressions. And so that is not the solution. Because, again, how much is enough?
Hmm. Pastor Curtis McMiller with us here today on Crosstalk. Pastor, just a couple more points here. We hear proclaim the words Black Lives Matter. Why is there such a pushback when somebody says, "Well, I believe all lives matter," and they'll say, "Well, all lives don't matter until Black Lives Matter"?
Well, even looking at it from that standpoint, that's, to me, that's a trace of prejudicism, you know, prejudice. When you say that now you're separating a group of people and you're saying that they deserve a certain status, but the truth is, as we think in terms of black lives. You know, I'm of the persuasion that it doesn't matter what color you are. I just believe in the eyes of God, all of us, all of our lives matter. You know, would to God that we would be able to, again, get back to the source of the problem in the black culture. I believe it could be also thrown at the foot of the abortion centers, the abortion mills, and how instrumental the Planned Parenthood has been in removing or taking the life of generations of young people. And so, yes, the truth is all lives matter. All of us are precious in God's sight.
And one other aspect here, and ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to the solutions, what the Bible has to say, but it also deals with this absence of concern within Black Lives Matter of black-on-black violence, black-on-black homicide, crime, etc. And you mentioned abortion, too. We know the proportion of African-American babies that are killed is just off the charts, percentage-wise. A comment on this issue as well, because one looks at this and said, well, black lives really don't matter when we have so much black-on-black crime across this nation.
Well, yes, that's, you know, as we think in terms of the black culture, again, it's true there are more killings conducted by black-on-black crime as compared to what we've been told involving the police and those things. And, again, this is where we often find the greatest crimes committed, but it seems like when a black gentleman kills another black person, a lot of this seemed to be swept under the rug. And, you know, again, why is this? It goes up right back to the home. It goes back to the home. And so, you know, just from the standpoint of this, you know, black on black crime, from the standpoint Black Lives Matters, let's get back to the heart of the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have these organizations, we can have these groups, and to be quite honest, when we think in terms of some of these groups, we have to ask ourselves the question, why are they not fighting against black-on-black crime? Why are they not voicing their concerns about the culture in itself? Why are they not criticizing or marching around the abortion centers, the Planned Parenthood places? Why not? Why is it that it seems like they are put in a position where they're moving it out of their communities and they're placing the blame on other cultures when the answer is staring them right in the face?
So the question is, what is the solution to this? What is a biblical response? And friends, we're going to take a quick 60-second break, and that is our main topic here for the next segment of the program. How should the church respond? What is the Christian's responsibility in such matters? With us today is Pastor Curtis McMiller. He is pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, soon to launch a radio broadcast on WVCY Radio here starting in September. But we're going to take a quick break, and after that, we're going to get to the heart of the matter as it relates to this topic here today. We'll be hearing from our guests as to what is the path forward. How do we as a church, how do we as believers, how do we respond to this very topic? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how are stars formed?
Chris, evolutionists say that each star condensed out of interstellar clouds of gas. But think about it. How could this happen? Remember, space is a vacuum, and gas in a vacuum would be sucked out in all directions. How could this gas become so dense that it would collapse by its own gravity? The pressures pushing it out would far exceed the gravitational pressures inward. There have been a number of evolutionary suggestions to get the process started, but all of them start with stars in the beginning. They say that a nearby exploding star might send out a pulse of energy that would condense a cloud of gas, but the question is, where did the stars come from in the first place? Not how do stars in rare circumstances form other stars? The Bible says that God created stars on day 4 of creation week, and the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
We'll be right back. racism? How should the church respond? What is the Christian's responsibility in such a matter as this? What is the path forward? Well, joining us in studio today is Pastor Curtis McMiller, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and talking about this issue here today. Pastor, you said we have to get to the heart. So during this next segment, I'd like to have you just share your heart on this issue through the lens of Scripture itself, through the eyes of being a preacher and addressing this issue. What's important for Christians to know as we address this issue that is impacting our culture today?
Okay, wonderful. Well, just first of all, I do want to say that it is true. It seems like our nation has been put in a position where, we're divided, and the Bible says that Satan has come to destroy. He's come to divide. He's pro death, and we see some of that in our society today as we see people going to various locations, tearing down statues, busting up buildings. And they say they're doing this in the name of Black Lives Matter. And well, as we think from the standpoint of the Bible, you know, God makes it plain that there are certain things that we need to do if God is going to remedy the problem. But before I get to that, what I'd like to say is as we even at cutting on our news today, and I was listening earlier, concerning a situation at this time in Portland and how, at this moment there's a building right now that's under attack, and there are federal, police officers. They're trying to guard a federal building, which is what they are supposed to do. And, you know, the Bible makes it plain that if we don't break the law, there's no reason why we ought to fear. But when people intentionally break the law, the Bible says there's going to be repercussions. In fact, when I was growing up, my mother used to say, you know, there are certain areas that where you should not go to, because those areas are hot spots for bad people. And she said, if you go there, she said, be prepared for the consequences. Well, I learned real quick to avoid those places. But it seems today like they're, you know, certain people are going to places they know if they stir something up, there's going to be a problem. But they want to ignore the consequences. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. God has placed in our lives law enforcement to protect us, to keep us safe. And then the Bible says this, and he says that, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. If you break the law, there's going to be consequences. Then the Bible says, for the rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're doing good, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you'll be fine. But he says to the evil, if you break the law, you're going to be held accountable. Will thou not be afraid of the powers? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. So as we think in terms of even what's happening in real time in one of our cities, the law enforcement, the police officers, they are there to protect. But when people are unruly, they have an agenda to tear things down, there will be consequences. And I think that, you know, people sometimes forget this. They want to go right to the end of the matter instead of backtracking and asking the question, why are all these things happening? So as I look at it from my perspective in our society, just getting to what the solution is, the solution is obviously to obey the law. And I thank God for my country, having served in the military. I've had the privilege of going to other countries and seeing how they conduct their life. And I'm here to tell you that there's no greater place on the face of the earth than America. I am pro America. I love my country. Does our country have, some bad marks? Yes, it does. But other countries do too. And have we tried to right the wrongs of the past? Yes, we have. After all, we've had our first black president.
We've had black governors, black legislators, black mayors, black aldermen, black business owners, black sport teams owners. We've had so much in our country as we think in terms of success and prosperity. And looking at the black culture, while we are a very small group compared to the other cultures, we have been put in positions of very high authority. And so when I hear people complain, they say racism. You know, the truth is, it's on both sides of the track. It's not only just in the White House, it's in the Black House too. Okay. And so, you know, it's like people want to be so one-sided instead of saying, you know, this has happened even in our own lives as well as the lives of others that we know that are a different skin color. So, but as we think in terms of the solution, I believe there are four things, and I'm looking at it as I think of it from a Christian's perspective as well as from a citizen of the United States perspective. Number one, I believe that the problem is going to be solved. It's going to have to be solved from the heart. Jesus Christ is the answer. When you have Christ as Savior, when you receive Him as your Lord, He comes inside and He changes you. He changes your perspective on life. He changes your belief system. He gives you a love that the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible makes it plain that when you have Christ, He talks about love, long-suffering, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. And then the Bible talks about against such there is no law. So when you have the Spirit of God that comes in you when you receive Christ, you're going to want to love people. You're going to want to show them the love of Christ. And so the answer is Christ. The problem is we just reverting back to Black Lives Matters. I often wonder how many people of faith are involved in that organization. I look at some of the things that they stand for, and what they stand for, a lot of it is contrary to the Bible. And so, you know, either you want to live for God or you don't want to live for God. And if you don't live for God, you're going to have these groups, you're going to have these organizations that have a different end game. They have a different philosophy. That's why trusting Christ is so important. Number two, I believe that after you receive Christ, and since we live in America, promote our country's successes. We have been a successful country. Our technology is second to none. Our opportunities are great. We have just a tremendous amount of opportunities. It doesn't matter, again, black, white, Hispanic. I'm thinking of Asian. People have left their country to come to this country to be successful. So America can't be too bad.
Right.
And then the third thing is how can we deal with racism? Well, I believe that you have to get back to the Bible, get back to the scriptures. And once you teach the Bible to people and you let them know that Jesus didn't come to destroy, He came to heal. He didn't come to kill, He came to revive. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said that I am the resurrection and the life. He, though he were dead, He says that He will live again. And then the last thing, we need to be willing to present a glowing testimony to others that do not know the Lord, and others who are caught up in these groups that have a different agenda. It's going to take somebody that can show them the love of Christ. And these are the solutions. This is what I believe will help our nation get back on track.
Again, we're talking today with Pastor Curtis McMiller, pastor at Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha. Pastor, earlier in our interview, you talked about your concern for the breakdown of that family unit, that core unit. Discuss that a little bit further here as to what you observe going on, because we know this family unit that's been sanctioned by God with the marriage and children and so forth.
Yes. So I believe that what's happened could be perhaps traced back to the early 60s. I believe that some of the legislation that was put in place because prior to certain individuals that were very much active in the political arena from the standpoint of policy making had a different agenda for the black culture. Prior to the 60s, you look at the average black family, the nucleus family, you find out that there was the father was there, the mother was there, the children was there, the father went out to work, mom was there with the kids, raising the children. And then when the 60s rolled around, we have a lot of the different revolutions that came. We have a different mindset that came on the scene. But just moving up to today, I think that a lot of the rap music has been instrumental in destroying the family unit. I think that a lot of the programming on television has been used to destroy the black culture. I believe that gangs have taken the place of moms and dads, because again, we have kids raising kids today. Moms and dads are not in the home, and I think that this has been used, or this has been the very catalyst for what we see today in our society. When you don't have the mom and dad structure in the home, the children, they're going to look for leadership somewhere else. And a lot of times they're going to look for it in their peers. They're going to look for it in the programming that they look at, the music that they listen to, and they're going to look for it in the streets. And because again, parents are not at home. When I was growing up, now I tell people that I am a product of a single parent home. I did not have a father in my home, but mom made sure that my brother and I had some principles that she instilled. She indicated one of the principles was, if you want anything out of life, you have to work for it. Little did I know that that was a biblical principle. The Bible says that there's a work ethic. It says that if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. So I learned early on that if I wanted anything, I had to work for it. But she also taught me to stay away from the wrong crowd. She taught me that if I wanted to be successful, that I would have to make sure that I had a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. He's the one that would help see to it that I would be successful. And later on in my 20s, I took her up on that, gave my heart to Christ, and God changed my life.
Amen.
And the rest has been history.
Amen. Amen. Well, friends, you're listening here today to Crosstalk. Pastor Curtis McMiller is with us, and we want to give you some extended time on the phones today to call in, ask a question. If you have a comment, please keep it brief so that we can certainly minister to a number of folks. But if you have a question you'd like to ask, even as to where things are in the nation today on this topic, how does the church respond? Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Just a reminder, Acts 17:26, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. Ladies and gentlemen, regardless of skin color, we are of one blood. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, our number, 800-733-9829.
This month marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffy. Sheffy, an itinerant circuit-riding preacher, committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films is releasing a restored, high-definition edition of the powerful film, Sheffy. And this month, VCY is making it available to a whole new generation. This offer includes both Blu-ray and DVD, and even a digital download. Also included the public showing rights, enabling the church and schools that own a copy to show it publicly. This month only, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and additional packs for a donation of just $10 more. You can also obtain 10 sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends July 31st. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Curtis McMiller with us today, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who, as we mentioned earlier, will be launching a radio program on our local station, WVCY in Milwaukee, starting in September. You can look forward to his program Saturday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Right now, we are going to go to the phone lines, folks, our lines are filled, but if you have notice that when somebody hangs up, that's your opportunity to give us a call here at Crosstalk. And again, write down the number, 800-733-9829. Taking your calls today, questions or brief comment. We're going to begin in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. Pastor McMiller, Brother Dave from Kenosha, I was exceedingly encouraged to hear your voice. And I publicly want to say he was the only pastor, to my knowledge, that invited and had Usama Dakhtov down in Kenosha. So thank you for that. And we'll be praying for this launch, this radio program. I believe you'll be able to be used to clarify Christ's message to all lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Let's go to Eretta in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to thank the pastor also. I'm a black woman who's pretty much been kicked out of my family because I took the stand that he's taking, and I'm just so, so happy to hear someone else say it. And also, I wanted to know if you all were aware that Black Lives Matter took 100-plus people over to meet with the Palestinians. And they were given
to meet with whom?
A lot of money put into the Black Lives Matter organization.
Pastor, your response here.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for your willingness to take a stand for Christ and your willingness to come out and be able to say that you understand the truth when you hear it. And I commend you for your willingness.
Is this common for people to be like her, Eretta, rejected from her family because of these positions?
Yes. When you are willing to come out and say that, you know, you're not a part of the establishment, you're not a part of the tradition, you know, the go along to get along crowd, there are family members that will isolate you, they'll distance themselves from you. But praise the Lord, when you know Christ, you know, he gives you new friends and he gives you that sense of knowing that you did right. But to answer your question, no, we did not know, and I've not heard anything about that. I'm hopeful that we'll hear more about the, you know, what's happened with the Palestinians and their willingness to give this group this money moving forward.
Thank you for the call here today. We're going next to Maxine, calling from Prairie du Chien. You're on the air, Maxine.
Yes, thank you, Jim, and thank you, Pastor McMiller. I'm the proud grandmother of two biracial granddaughters, and I have noticed sometimes when I'm out in public that other blacks don't acknowledge my granddaughters, and I try to understand. I think it bothers me more than it does the girls. But what is the thinking behind that?
Well, that's typically in the black culture, from what I've observed. In fact, it seems as if we're starting to see more and more advertisement with biracial children. I've not noticed any black culture in general that has not been receptive to biracial children. In fact, usually, from what I've observed, they actually accept them and you know, they count that as, you know, from what I've observed, as them really being part more accepted in the black culture, more so in the Caucasian culture, from what I've observed. But that's just from what I've seen and what I've witnessed.
Okay. And, of course, I'm in a pretty much a white community. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you again. And I want to say black souls.
Amen.
Thank you for the call, Maxine. JT is our next caller. Hi, JT. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. As a Caucasian person, I've been in the ghettos of Phoenix, Queens, and Chicago, and I'm never bothered because I'm there for a reason, to buy dope. and I'm now in recovery, praise God, thanks to Jesus, 22 years. I can't figure out why this country hasn't figured out there's an unmanaged multi-billion-dollar-a-year enterprise known as cocaine and heroin, and it's always in the ghetto when you want to find the dope. I've never gone to the white, fancy suburbs to get it because it's not there. I can't understand. Every black person I ever know has always told me I am the safest guy in the ghetto because I'm a customer and I'm always treated with kid gloves. But meanwhile, like your earlier customer said, they kill each other and nobody even cares.
Thank you, JT, for the call. Your response, Pastor?
Well, yeah, this is, again, this is one of the reasons why the black culture is what it is. You know, it's an open market for drug use, drug sale. And, you know, this is because as a result of this, we have a very small number of blacks surviving in that culture. And you're absolutely right. This is where a lot of this is pumped in at. You know, would to God that the aldermen in that area, the mayors, the people of influence would step up and say, you know, enough of this. You know, we want to get this out of our communities. But unfortunately, in certain areas, particularly in a larger urban areas, we have Democrat policies that are in place here. This is what you get. So appreciate your stand and appreciate your sobriety. Praise God that the Lord is able to deliver.
JT, thank you for the call here today. We've got a couple open lines here at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. You can call right now and get through to us. We're going next to Warren. Hi, Warren, you're on the air.
Yes, Pastor Miller, I got a question for you with the Black Lives Matter. Whom or to what does their lives matter? All lives matter to Jesus Christ, and the easiest way to solve this, especially in the black community, drug problem, we're at the last hour. Christ is coming back. You either repent or perish. They need to repent and be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I've got black friends in Alabama that were water baptized, and they're not in the drugs, and they think that some black lives stuff, matter stuff is crazy.
Thank you for the call here. I'm going to have our pastor comment on this issue because talking about a changed life, people coming to faith in Christ, I know you're passionate about soul winning, Pastor McMiller, and we know that is the solution. It is not anything we can do. Our church membership is not going to do it. Our baptism is not going to do it. All these things that we can stack up, perfect attendance pins that we get, but it is a changed heart through redemption in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the answer is Jesus. You know, you have to make the decision to come to Christ. Repent of your sin, turn from your sin, trust Christ, receive him as your Lord, as your Savior. He will come inside. He'll clean you up. He'll change you. He'll give you a life worth living. As we think in terms of the society or the, you know, the communities that we have, one of the things, too, as we look at the churches in these communities, we want, the question is, are they getting out the true gospel of Christ? Or are they nothing more than just entertainment centers where people are going to be entertained? They come in dead, they leave out dead, and then they spiritually die, physically die one day. And so it is important that these churches are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Let's go next to Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy is calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to go over a couple of things with you. Just as far as the separation of families, that's definitely an issue. I was glad that you mentioned, you know, what took place in the 60s, but it goes back as far as slavery because we were separated then. As far as reparations, though, I don't quite understand why you're not for it. I mean, no, in my view, reparations is not about blaming the people who are here now. It's about our government paying for work. If you remove the atrocities, paying for work that hasn't been done. I mean, even the Israelites, when they left Egypt with Moses, the Egyptians heaped them with gold and earrings and all types of stuff.
Okay, thank you, Leroy. Pastor?
Okay, well, first of all, if you want to real quick, first of all, I appreciate your comment, and I appreciate how you were quick to acknowledge that the family and the black culture is truly in a viewed in a bad light at this moment. Just wanted to make a couple of observations. First of all, you indicated that, yes, it's true, the Egyptians heaped unto the Israelites the various gifts of gold and silver and various materials that they would need to ultimately build the tabernacle in the wilderness. But we have to understand that was given to them at that time, right away. Now, we're talking over 200 years later here in our country, and you mentioned that, you know, reparations, the people today had zero to do with what happened over 200 years ago. You know, even as I read earlier from the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says that the children will not be held responsible for the sins of the fathers. And we know that that was sin, obviously, back then. But, you know, here's the thing. We're no longer in slavery. We have, God allowed us to grow in a country where we have opportunity after opportunity to be successful. And there are other countries you will not have these same opportunities. And so as from the standpoint of reparations, I was always taught, and I promote this, and from a biblical perspective, you know, God says that if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. Why should we give someone something who has not worked for it? And if you utilize it from the standpoint or if you mention it from the standpoint of the past, again, those individuals, that is in the past. The Bible says we press on, we move towards, we look at those things ahead, not those things behind. Because if you dwell on the past, you'll live your life in the past. And that's one of the reasons why we have what we have today, people living life in the past.
Leroy, any further comment?
I'm firmly not saying, look, black people need to just sit on and wait on reparations. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is that our government pays reparations to other groups, the Jews and the Japanese. And this is not discounting the fact that we still need to work. As a matter of fact, that was the second punishment behind death. And if we don't work, we get lawlessness. So people still have to work. But there has, if the government pays other groups, they should take care of.
Okay, I'm going to have we're almost to a break, but let me just say, work was not a curse after death. Adam had a job in the garden even before death came about. That's part of how God created man. Any further final comment here to Leroy?
Well, I just want to say, as far as these other groups that in which government is paying, I don't know anything about that. Honestly, I think that our president has looked into some various funding that has been given to various groups that he's tried to put a stop on, because, again, there have been different, even different nations that have taken advantage of us. So just wanted to make that comment about your question.
Thank you, Leroy, for the call. We're going to pick up some other calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Curtis McMiller with us today, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, Kenosha, Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, in 1966, the U.S. Army put out a document on unconventional warfare, and they reportedly rewrote it in 2016, and I have it right here in front of me. And what does this report state? Well, among many things, it lists 21 steps to insurrection and revolution. 21 steps to insurrection and revolution within a country and how it happens. My friends, after studying this and presenting it on television and radio with historians such as Trevor Loudon, we can clearly say we are in the final four stages of insurrection and revolution. In fact, the U.S. Army even talks about a shadow government. We would call that the deep state. No conspiracy here. Even a joint publication by the U.S. Army admits 21 steps to revolution, and we're in the final four. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House.
We'll be going back to the lines in just a moment, but first I would like to give you a point of contact for our guest today, Pastor Curtis McMiller. I have both a web address as well as a phone number that you can follow up even after the program. The web address is heritagebaptistkenosha.com. Heritage Baptist Kenosha, that's KENOSHA.com. And the phone number for his ministry, 262-654-4665. That's 262-654-4665. We're going right back to the phone lines. Let's see. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air. Anonymous caller.
Well, first of all, I want to talk to Curtis and tell him that, praise the Lord, he's on today. And I'm thanking you, Jim, also for putting on people like Curtis and putting on mm-hmm.
Hey, let's go.
Zoe,
we're almost out of time. Let's go right to your question or a brief comment.
I'm throwing this out there. I believe that now is the time. I think it's kind of manifest, like when God sent Jonah.
Okay, now is the time. Let's finish the statement. Let's get right to the point.
Okay, the statement is, my question is, do you think it's possible that now is the time that God is going to bless all the blood of the saints, the black people who suffered so much in their innocence, that God heard them like the sparrows that fall to the ground? I believe it is, and that he is ready to bless us.
And thank you for the call. Does Scripture address this issue? And certainly God blesses those who will honor him in that regard, those who are faithful to him.
Yeah, God is, you know, when we're willing to follow God's precepts and God's mandates, God has made it clear that he will bless them. He indicates that he will pour us out a blessing mm-hmm. as we follow his precepts.
We're going next to Eddie in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for taking my call. I'm a pastor also, and I appreciate the program today. I want to say something real quick, and I've got one quick question. Praise the Lord, all lives matter to Jesus.
Amen.
And he's the answer to Black Lives Matter. You see that in Amen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the question I have, did you hear about Black Lives Matter putting the guillotine in front of Jeff Bezos' house?
No, sir.
With a note on it, and there's a video of it. It's kind of alarming because they're banned. I mean, I don't know how they got a real guillotine, but they're outlawed. They're banned, and they set a real guillotine on the doorstep or in the front yard of Jeff Bezos' house.
Eddie, you've raised another issue here, and I'm going to have Pastor address, and that is, earlier, Pastor, you gave a warning to believers for getting involved in Black Lives Matter. Our caller here just pointed out one of the things that he indicated that they have done. Why the warning? Why the warning that you presented for believers in Christ to be involved in the group Black Lives Matter?
Well, yeah, you know, the Bible makes it plain that when we put ourselves, God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? What concord hath light with darkness? What communion light, or what conquest has Christ with Belial? When you identify yourself with the unsaved and Black Lives Matter, I don't know of any of them that are born again. But when you put yourself in that position, you open yourself up for God's judgment to fall on you as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we have to be careful that we don't identify ourselves with groups that are contrary to the word of God. Mm. You know, can two walk together except they be in agreement? Mm. So if you're a child of light, what fellowship have you with children of darkness? And so that's one of the things I wanted to share.
Great. Thank you, Eddie. Liz is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air. Liz. Hello, Liz.
That's one of the things.
Okay, let's go to Robert in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, always praying that the Lord would add and help with conversation with folks. How you doing, Pastor McMiller?
Doing great.
I'm kind of in my thought comparing or thinking on asking how Jesse Reed Peterson brings up their people's relationships is kind of how you're bringing up the family problem. And, but you know, being born again with heaven, God, the Heavenly Father as our eternal Father, as the riches of heaven coming, to bring us through, to guide us through with suffering. But how do you perform conversation if you have to bring someone around to thinking in a godly way in these matters?
Well, I think first of all, you have to make the comparison as in relationship. What is, you know, what does it mean to have Christ and enjoy the blessings of God versus not having Christ and looking at the curses that comes from behind living a life without Christ? And if you can break down that barrier and obviously your lifestyle, your testimony, that's going to really it ought to put them in a position where they'll want Christ because of your testimony as well.
Thanks for the call. We're going to squeeze one last caller in from Kenosha. Celeste, you're on the air.
I would like to say that Ken Ham, he says that all people are of one color.
Of one blood. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Celeste. They've got a great book out at Answers in Genesis as well on that issue, One Blood, Biblical Answer to Racism in that regard. Thank you, Celeste. Pastor, in our final minute here, what do you want to leave with our listeners on this topic?
Well, I'd just like to say that thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Thank God that he opens the eyes of those that have been in spiritual darkness. And, you know, obviously in the black culture, as I see people given over to a way of life, a form of thinking that's been placed upon them because of just a history of following after people that do not have their best interest at heart. I just thank God that the blood of Christ can break through all of that and create a brand new person who's willing, who's able to think for themselves. And so we thank God for that and praise the Lord for what God is doing at Heritage Baptist Church. Thank God for WVCY and the ministry of this particular organization.
Pastor, thank you for being with us today.
Yes.
Pastor Curtis McMiller with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, the point of contact, heritagebaptistkenosha.com, or you may call 262-654-4665. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.